So I want to thank you, Ed, for your help this afternoon once again as well. Open your Bibles this afternoon, if you would. And we're going to go to the Old Testament book of Lamentations. Lamentations. That is, if we can all find it, right? Lamentations. Now, I know it's here somewhere. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Good night, I'll tell you what. Have you found it?
It's on page 967.
All right. Lamentations, right between, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 3. Now, the study Bible that I have at home, I get to cheat because it's got the little tabs on the edge of the pages. I was like, oh, there it is right there. Yeah, well, all right. Anyway, Lamentations. We will be reading shortly a good portion of the chapter, not the whole chapter, but it's relatively short, and so we'll see that here in just a moment. But Lamentations, as you may know, was penned, it was recorded, if you will, by Jeremiah. Jeremiah was, of course, known and is known as the weeping prophet for a number of reasons. One, God established him as one who would be used by God to highlight and to exhort and to rebuke and to preach and prophesy of and against the wickedness of God's children, especially those in the city of Jerusalem, as seen through the first two chapters here in this book of Lamentations. Now, because of all of that, Jeremiah also became quite distraught. Became quite distraught, much like Elijah had, over his self-perceived ineffectiveness. Have you ever wondered why you can't be more effective? I know I have. Sometimes I think that it's just the way things are. But remember, like Jeremiah, that at one time he had actually decided to quit because he was so distraught. In fact, accusing God of deceiving him. And we can find that in Jeremiah chapter 20. You keep your finger right there in Lamentations. I'll just read that for you, Jeremiah chapter 20. I want you to see it. And if I can find that here as quickly as I possibly can. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. Jeremiah writes and he says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Every one mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. In verse 9 says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You see, Jeremiah accused God of deceiving him, and he said he was going to quit, but God's grace and God's plan was different. And we even see that in verse 9, where he writes, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but, as I just read, his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, and I could not stay, he says in the end of that verse. Now, what is most inspiring about that passage is realizing that you and I, we can, in fact, identify, in part at least, with those feelings, and we can and we should draw great encouragement from them. Not so much the God, you have deceived me, but from the part that God said, no, I'm not finished with you yet, and his word was burning in my heart. And if we're in the word of God, friends, I'm going to tell you, no matter what we face from day to day, God's word is still alive and working in our hearts. Amen. Don't be afraid to say, like Jeremiah, I couldn't forbear anymore. I couldn't stay because it was burning in me. I had to get back to God. Now, I believe this is especially true when we consider the promises and the preparation that Jeremiah received from God, they are absolutely consistent with the promises and the preparation that we have been given by God through our Savior Jesus Christ. What are those? Well, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." That's God speaking to Jeremiah. And then in verse 18 of that same chapter 1, God says, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land." And then verse 19 of chapter 1 says, "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." Boy, what a promise is that. Can we identify with where Jeremiah was at? That sometimes we get so down and we just want to say, I'm done, I've had enough, forget it. But God says, no, I'm not done with you yet. Friends, we have to listen to God. And so look with me now at our source text here in Lamentations chapter 3. Now we're going to start in verse number 1. And we're going to read down through, actually, verse 25. Don't fret, it's not going to take long. Verse 1 says, "I am," Jeremiah writes, "I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he is turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways in hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people in their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth and gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far from peace. I forgat prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul had them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." But then look what happens in verse 21. Jeremiah writes, "This I recall to my mind, and therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Our study today then is whether you and I have ever, or do we ever currently, start feeling distraught, even approaching feeling overwhelmed by all that is going on in our lives. Whether it is COVID, or the economy and the prices of things, or whether it's personal issues, maybe family concerns, or a job concern, or the kind of people you work with, or school, or maybe it's the state of the world, or politics, or any number of things that, like Jeremiah, the sum of all of it nearly becomes too much for us. And yet, we still have God who is on our side. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, as we look to this message today, oh God, may the Holy Spirit of God enter into us, fill us, completely fill all of us, Lord, right from the bottom to the top. Lord, every aspect of our lives, every aspect of our minds and our hearts, fill us today that we might know that you are present. That God, though the world around us and though the pressures of life might get to us, oh, we still have hope. We still have a God that loves us. Work according to your will in this message today, in my heart, and according to your will, whoever else might hear it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how then can we, when we start feeling and we start beginning to experience the distress, how can we hit the brakes on feeling overwhelmed and getting ready to quit? How do we prevent ourselves from falling into the temptation of giving up because we're starting to feel overwhelmed? Jeremiah said in verses 21 through 24 of our chapter, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." You see, I believe one of our first things to do is to go to God, go to His Word, to be reminded just how much God loves us. And just how unconditional that love is. Because it doesn't matter whether we feel like we're worthy of God's love or not. It doesn't matter if we've been in church every service for the last 75 years. It doesn't matter if we've fallen away and if we're not really very active with God anymore. It doesn't matter, because God's love is unconditional, and still He loves us. Look in our text chapter and find verse 40. That is Lamentations chapter 3. And find your way down to verse number 40. It says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." Now, I want to ask you a question. That's a pretty simple verse. It's pretty short. But you know, the Word of God, it's so full of these hidden meanings, and it's just so, you got to have a college degree to understand the plain English that's written in the Word of God. How many times does Jeremiah say in that verse that we are allowed to go to God? Anyone? Oh, he doesn't? Oh, what does he say then? He says, "Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord." But I've turned 100 times already. I've asked for forgiveness. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Because guess what? God hasn't gone anywhere. If we still are alive and we're still taking breath, still taking nourishment, and are still here on this earth, God is still there. He says, "Search and try our ways and turn again to God." For those who are married, let me ask you a question. Is it enough that your husband or your wife, one time in the past, told you once that he or she loves you and never told you that again? Is it enough? Oh, come on, you don't have to be shy. No, it's not enough. You know it's not enough because you want to hear it time and again. Of course it's not enough. We need to hear it. We need to be reminded of it, even though we know it. Time and time again, we need it. And we say it and we hear it because we need it. And so it is with God. Because our sin nature, because our flesh, because even our carnality, or even because it's Satan himself or his messengers, they don't stop when we resist them once. They'll come back and attack time and time and time again. Therefore, let us search our ways and turn to the Lord again and again and again. Time and time again, our weakest areas are attacked by temptation to try to pry us away from effectively loving and serving and sharing the love of God. Pop quiz. Hold on, I thought that was like something you did in school. Pop quiz, and I want answers. It's an interactive service today, all right? Here we go, pop quiz. What does John 3:16 say? For God so... Oh! For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Very good, you got one right. How about Romans chapter 5 and verse 8? What does that one say? But God commendeth His... Oh, there it is again. His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All right, that's 2 out of 3. That's great. All right, here's a tough one. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. What does they say? What? I don't remember those from my memory verses. All right, well, that's all right here. I'll tell you what they say. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, they say this. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As I heard it said one time, that's a lot of love, man. And it is. That is a lot of love. In fact, it's so much that it won't end. Now, I need a little help. Can I get a little help? I need a couple of guys to look up some scripture for me, just to help me out here a little bit. AJ, are you want to give me a hand, or would you look up for me Psalm chapter 62 and verse 8? Brother Jack, would you mind helping us out back there in Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 19? Pastor, would you mind looking up for us 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10? Would you mind looking that up for us, Pastor? All right. Psalm 62 and verse number 8. AJ, what have you got there?
Trust in Him at all times. You people pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us.
Oh, so God's love is enough that He tells us through the psalmist to trust in God at all times, ye people, because God is a refuge for us. How about Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 19, Brother Jack?
Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thy heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward Him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street.
When we start feeling like it's going to get overwhelming, when we start feeling the pressures, God tells us, and we're going to hear it in just a minute, but He tells us, trust in the Lord, His people, because God is a refuge. He tells us in Lamentations chapter 2, pour out your heart like water to the Lord. What does it say in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 10?
Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, and that as He has suffered a while, made you perfect, established, strengthened, settled.
Boy, what a promise is that. We can cry out. We can cast all of our care. We can trust Him at all times. Pour out our hearts like water because He careth for you. And did you catch the end of that passage? The afflictions that we feel are common to the brethren that are in the world. You're not alone in this. In fact, the Bible tells us that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who is that? Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Cry out. And God says, I am here and I'm waiting. In our text, in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 40 and 41, look again. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. You know, and friends, God is always available and willing to hear, waiting for us. In fact, which is why He preserved, why His preserved word says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. God is always wanting to hear, wanting us to pour out our hearts before Him. Charles Stanley, in his devotional book titled On Holy Ground, writes this. He says, God never grows tired of you. He sees the span of your life. His eye is on the potential that your life holds. He spends each moment completely absorbed in thoughts of you, developing you, molding you, and blessing you. And he goes on to write, God loves you and His love will never change. He has a plan for your life and you will succeed. He writes, the key is to remain focused on Him and not on who you think you should be. Did you catch that? Not who you are. Our focus is to remain on Him, not on who we think that we should be. The premise or the proof of these statements really comes from God's own word that He sent to the people of Israel when they were captured by Nebuchadnezzar. In Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 13. Let's turn there very quickly. Jeremiah chapter 29. I know the hour's getting long and I'm saying a whole lot of words, but it's so important because I believe that there are Christians today that are so close to giving up because of this feeling of being overwhelmed with everything in life. Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in verse number 10, the Bible says, For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. In other words, there may be some time that we have to suffer. And in fact, what we heard in 1 Peter 5 was that God says, after you have suffered a little while, I will establish you and settle you. And that's what he says here. After 70 years be accomplished. Then he goes on in verse 11, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13 says, And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Don't hold anything back because, oh, God doesn't want to hear me slobbering and blubbering. God wants to hear you pour out your heart like water unto Him. So our first thing is to turn again to God. Secondly, and I will close with this, we must realize that when we get this feeling of being overwhelmed, we cannot give in to the temptation that Satan brings that tells us that we have failed God yet again, and now it's too late to be forgiven because we've asked too many times in the past already for restoration. That is a lie that Satan will try to convince us of. I've asked too many times to be forgiven. God can't possibly forgive me anymore. Are you still breathing? Is God still on the throne? Yeah. Did Christ only die for you to say that, okay, well, you got six times and then you're done? No. He said, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. I submit to you that God knows how it feels with this matter of being overwhelmed. He knows how it feels. He says that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. That means that even our Savior Jesus Christ felt the weight of being overwhelmed. He was not overwhelmed, but He certainly understands the feeling of it. I believe that there are at least three different times that we can detect various degrees of this very feeling, as expressed by Jesus' own words. It all starts sometimes just with a minor feeling of frustration, as we see in Matthew chapter 17. Turn with me there. Matthew chapter 17. It's always good to go into the New Testament and see just exactly how relevant these things are because Christ experienced them. Matthew chapter 17. And find your way to verse number 17. Now this same verse is seen in Mark chapter 9 and also in Luke chapter 9. But Matthew 17:17 says, Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Now, why do I introduce that verse? Because I want you to back up for just a minute Jesus and his disciples have just come from the Mount of Transfiguration. And verse 14 says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for he oft times falleth into the fire and oft into the water.'" Well, that doesn't sound like anything he should be frustrated with. But look at the very next verse. He says, "And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Oh. Well, then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you?" Now, we should certainly be careful not to ascribe too much of what we might feel to the person of Jesus Christ. And yet, according to Hebrews 4 and 15, Jesus did feel or was affected in some way by the same iniquities from our human identification perspective. But as that verse concludes in Hebrews 4:15, "yet without sin." Jesus felt the weight of these things, but he didn't sin. He didn't give in to it. He certainly didn't let it overwhelm him. So by Jesus' words here in Matthew 17, we can surely see some disheartening of our Lord in that moment. Then again in John chapter 14, let's go over there very quickly. John chapter 14. We're almost done. Bear with me. John chapter 14. It's too important not to see it. Starting in verse number 8. "Philip saith unto him," this is his disciples now. He's talking with his disciples. "Philip saith unto him, 'Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very works' sake." His very own disciples, who were with Jesus basically day in and day out for a number of years, and they also added to what could certainly lead to an overwhelming disappointment. How long have you known your Savior? How long have you gone to Him asking for forgiveness? And how many times do we have to turn again to Him? Let me tell you, it may at the moment seem like it would be a disappointment to Him to you. Or maybe I should say that this way. Maybe it'll seem to you like it might be a disappointment to Him. But it is not. Because God is waiting. And it says, let us search and turn again to the Lord. Lastly, in Matthew chapter 26, we're so close to being done. Matthew chapter 26, look with me if you would, to verse number 36. Jesus, of course, is preparing for his imminent arrest, his trial, his beatings, and his crucifixion. And look what it says here in Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying these words, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." See, as he's preparing for these events, he has begun to feel physically the unimaginable weight of what is about to take place. And still, he is the perfect example for us of turning back to God's will over his own. Can you even begin to fathom? I can't. The unimaginable weight of what was about to take place. He was going to take the sin of the entire world for eternity on himself, facing the very wrath of God the Father. And yet, he turned himself back to the Lord's will and not his own. He was not overwhelmed. It was close. So if you, friends, are feeling the weight and the pressure and the frustration of life, as we read, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. Because, friends, God is ready and waiting to hear from us. Isaiah 58, verse 9 says, "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shalt thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am." If you happen to be free from these feelings today, praise God for that. Praise God that you are not under those such weight and oppression and feeling of such pressures. But at the same time, take up and pray for those who need that help and who need that support. Pour your heart out for others unto the Lord. And he says, "Here I am." Pastor, would you close the service?
Well, the brother Steve said, pour your heart out. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we pour our hearts out grumbling and murmuring and complaining, but pour your heart out in praise and thanksgiving.
Yes.
And I mean, I was serious when I said, praise the Lord, the car broke down. Doesn't do any good to complain about it. And if God ordered it, then I'm going to praise him for it because he's got something somewhere that's important. But we also have to be very careful about ascribing our feelings to God.
Yeah.
Have you ever done something, and Steve had mentioned this, and I wanted to make sure we picked it up, that was that we have done something and we have a hard time maybe forgiving ourselves for it.
Yeah.
And we turn around and we ascribe, well, if I can't forgive myself, how in the world is God going to forgive me? Because God has an immeasurable grace.
Yes.
That he can forgive when we seek forgiveness.
Yes.
But don't ascribe to God your guilt. Confess your sin. Put it on the blood. And enjoy the liberty that you have walking with Christ. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. And Lord, we ought to be a people that pours our heart out. And Lord, we don't have to be in a prayer closet to pour our hearts out. Lord, we'd be driving down the road and we can see something and Lord, as the Spirit speaks, and it might be something wonderful. It may be just the fact that your Spirit is speaking to our hearts. And Lord, we can rejoice. And Lord, to have that kind of relationship, to have that kind of walk is very fulfilling and very exciting. So Lord, may we learn under the leadership of your Spirit to learn how to pour out our heart in a very meaningful and a very substantive way. And we'll be careful to give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, sir.
Thank you.